Oh my gosh, it's Tuesday, December 10th.
Yes. I forgot to check the date before we started, but I believe it will be the 10th. And Chris is not here.
She did not attempt to come.
I'm not sure why she's not here, but she's not. So before you comment, where's Krista? We don't know.
She's here in spirit. Look, the new level one mugs and mouse pads and all that stuff are in the level one store, along with the KVMs. All the KVMs are back in stock, finally. Do you know how hard it was? Like, it was a lot of work. It was a lot of work. But they're all put together. They're in the store. They're ready to ship. Everything is amazing. We've sold so many KVMs. But also Krista's new artwork and mouse pads and whatever. And we don't really care. It's time to talk about the FCC.
The FCC has been known to fabricate some things. Allegedly.
Now Jeep Pie is like, no, this is just good business.
Do we ever have any proof of that? I don't know. But in this case, they are not being accused. They are the accusers for once, which is actually kind of surprising because normally...
Well, the article explained that.
Normally they take the bullet, but not this time.
The FCC says that wireless carriers lie about coverage 40% of the time. Real world tests show that mobile speed coverage maps are often more fantasy than reality. Who did the testing? The FCC. They've got a team of drivers that were looking at the coverage maps and driving around, and like 60% of the time, those maps were not accurate. And the reason they did that is because a bunch of senators were saying, hey, this is, we don't know where to spend money. Like, stop lying. We need to figure this out. And so the FCC drove around and the numbers were worse than they expected.
So I think you missed it by a little bit there. The senators were arguing about, we don't know which of us gets the money. And that's why it all of a sudden mattered. Because you need to apportion the Universal Service Fund. And some people are saying, my state needs it the most. And they're like, no, that's lies. I need it the most. And so it's like, okay, settle it.
Isn't it crazy that that's what brings the truth out? Like, I just, what level of, you know, what den of iniquity could have possibly created this situation where it's like, well, we're going to just say everything is fine until it comes time to divvy up the money. And then it's just who can lie the best.
So now imagine that job. You're in a car all day long. You're eating garbage food on the road. And you're just sitting there staring at a laptop looking at a meter and logging it.
And knowing that a Jeep Pie might chew you out if your numbers aren't good enough. So you got to figure that those estimates are overestimates. Like, it's like we've got a half a bar of 4G. Yeah, let's call it. That's 4G coverage, but it's not actually usable.
Yeah, I would like to see the metrics for like what counts as, where's the threshold?
Yeah, well, real world experience is that the coverage of 4G is garbage.
If you will recall, a while back there was a little bit of outrage about facial scanning in airports because everybody was going to get their face scanned and it was going to be great for everybody. But some people said, hey, wait, you always get hacked. They're going to hack our faces. They're going to be tied to all of our other information. This is bad. You can't do this. And they're like, oh, no. This is just for non-citizens. But then we had some stories about some airlines who weren't making it obvious that you could opt out of it in the sense that, like, you had to fill out paperwork and go through this whole horrible thing to opt out of it. But they were like, no. It's totally optional for non-citizens. Don't worry. This is only for those dirty foreigners. Well...
TechCrunch is reporting that the DHS wants to expand airport face recognition scanners to include U.S. citizens. And, you know, really, it's hard to argue with the DHS here. It's like, oh, this will improve security in much the same way like getting a subdural implant when you're a baby would also improve security. Or like having a brain implant, if they try to remove it, that it just, you know, shunts your brainstem. That would be a great way of proving somebody was born in the right place.
But for once... And maybe because we're going into an election, the people's outrage actually meant something. And it probably helped that they were, you know, all these clips and all these not so old articles saying, no, seriously, we're never going to do this with citizens. Don't worry. So it's fine. We're not going to do that. And having that was probably what led to this.
Trump administration drops plans for mandatory face scans of citizens. A proposed rule was set to be issued in July, requiring U.S. citizens to be subject to facial recognition software when traveling in and out of the country. Huh. Look at that. It's a little bit too much like China for everybody's comfort.
People are seeing what's going on in China. And they're like, wait a minute. Our leaders aren't that much different. Where there are all these pictures of them praising and handshaking those people. And speaking of the will of the people, and by that I mean unfettered socialism, Bernie Sanders has a new plan about high-speed internet access. And I got to say, aside from giving it away to everybody for free, he's got some good points.
Bernie Sanders unveils a $150 billion plan to expand high-speed internet access and dismantle internet and cable monopolies. So I don't think that I agree. On paper, it's really good. But on paper, I was really excited about the 96 Telecommunications Act. And then they took all of the best parts of it and got rid of it, and all of the worst parts that we trade. Like, it was very much a negotiation. It's like we had to give up a lot to get what we got from the 96 Telecommunications Act, and then we didn't actually get anything from the 96 Telecommunications Act and gave up everything. So
now this is a big tax and spend, $150 billion out of the taxpayers' pockets, but it sets the standard. So right now, the FCC considers 25.3 to be broadband, which is laughable in every other part of the world. And Bernie's going to bump it up to 110, which
is still not great.
That's like the least amount, right?
Yeah.
But presumably, you could still pay for more. And he wants to get... Now, here's the best part. He wants to get rid of ownership of media while you are an ISP and make it a public utility and all that.
I think he misses the mark a little bit here. I think it would have been more effective to decouple the network. One of the big things with the 96 Telecommunications Act was to decouple the network from the service. So, like, if you've got a 100 meg fiber connection to your house, you could get Time Warner Media or Virgin Media or the BBC or whatever. You had that pipe to your house. You could subscribe to whatever. If you wanted to use one phone company for local calls and another company for long-distance calls, you could do that because what was coming over your pipe didn't matter. This is not that exactly.
But if you made it a utility and it came under all those rules, how many of those people you think would just leave the business? And other people would take over and it'd be tiny margins, but...
I think that a couple business, probably AT&T would like spitefully leave, but then like, and so like for a week, everything would be like the cars are on fire and there's riots in the streets. And then the next week, like the local nerds would be like, no, man, we got this. And everybody would be like, oh.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like somebody would take it over who's willing to not make all the money in the world and just make a living, but not, you know, so, and then we would get the separation naturally.
Who wouldn't be happy running your local ISP for $150,000 a year?
Probably a lot of headache. Yeah, I mean, just the phone calls alone probably drive you crazy.
Getting grandma online.
Yeah. But, hey, Bernie's going to tax and spend, so hey, give us some of that $85 billion, put it toward that, you know, Indian call center.
It's not like as taxpayers we haven't already paid for this infrastructure two or three times now.
So maybe that's a little bit of good news. I don't know what Bernie's chances are. Although it does look like he is, you know, as we're getting down to the wire, he's kind of pulling ahead. Because Biden is just like, he's basically slipping into dementia in front of the world.
The Illuminati, the background in my head, when it's like, what are the Illuminati up to here, are saying that they're letting Bernie get ahead because they know something they can pull the rug out from underneath him at the last minute, and it's just nothing's going to happen.
Could be. So that's maybe a little bit of good news. If Bernie gets elected, maybe we'll get finally the broadband will get shaped up.
Finally, we'll have better broadband than Estonia.
But to temper that, don't get up on your high horse too much, because now we got some bad news, because once again, the old Fourth Amendment's taking a beating.
Another federal court says that compelled production of fingerprints to unlock a phone doesn't violate the Constitution. And they've got some excerpts from the ruling here, and you really have to do kind of a lot of mental gymnastics to get there.
It is pretty crazy. So here's the question. Pause the video and answer it below. Is your finger a key or a password? That is the linchpin of this entire argument. Which one do you think? Does it count as a password, or is it more like a physical device like a key?
Well, they're saying that you're compelled to do something with your finger. And it's like, no. We could use your finger when you're unconscious. And it's like, what if you had like a brain scan? We could read your brain when you're unconscious. It's like someday the technology is going to get there.
Now, here's the crazy loophole about this, right? So it's almost like they're just, it's like children arguing and making up like the, you know, like the know you game. You know, it's like know you times 1,000, no take backs. You know, it's like that kind of thing. So here's the ruling. They get to choose the fingers, right? So your fingers are keys. They're not passwords, because the password would mean that you have to participate. But your fingers are keys. And they get to choose, was it five keys?
Yeah.
And the lockout is four, right? Yeah. Or maybe it is five. Anyway, so you don't participate. You're just a dead piece of meat. And they're going to randomly select five of your fingers and try to use that to unlock your phone. So the lesson here, use the pinky finger of your non-dominant hand to train your phone, because they're not going to pick that one. Maybe not. Maybe you get not even the pinky, right? Maybe you go ring finger non-dominant just to fake them out in case they pull a wild card.
Five tries out of 10 fingers doesn't sound like good odds. I think you're going to have to start using toes and things.
This is always going to be one and two.
Yeah.
Of the dominant hand. So it's really three out of the others. So you gotta try to get inside the head of the powers that be.
I think it is interesting, too, that the judge here said that passcodes are definitely a product of the mind, and you can't compel that. But I was worried that the direction they were going in was, well, we don't need to know what the passcode is. We just need you to unlock it. And so that's the other participation side. So this judge at least seemed like he had the foresight to say, okay, somebody's going to look at my ruling and say that if you force somebody to unlock their phone, but you don't reveal you don't have them reveal to law enforcement what the passcode is, that's still okay. That's still okay under the Constitution. But he said, no, it's also that you require the person to participate in gathering the evidence. And so we're not going to require them to participate in gathering the evidence. Except in the case of fingerprints, which would work if their finger was cut off. And it's like, good Lord, the mental gymnastics here.
Well, it has to do with incriminating yourself, right? Yeah. So unlock this phone is a command that could cause you to incriminate yourself. But place your left index finger onto this spot is presumably not that. Which is just, the justice system is wild. But it's interesting. So YouTube has just been going in circles. You got to protect the children. And then we had the adpocalypse. And then we had the second adpocalypse. And now they're talking about, okay, maybe we'll let some advertisers advertise on the naughty stuff. And it's just like, where does it all end? And it seems like some people are tired of this. And they're like, look, we just need to know what everybody's doing for the kids.
Advocates call for the FTC probe of KidTech. Now, you may recall that the current insanity is because of an FTC probe. Well, this would call for an expansion of that, not just for YouTube, but other tech companies. And it's like, hey, what are software companies doing? Like TikTok. What is TikTok doing that is enticing kids to use it? What about other things? Are the kids becoming addicted to this kind of stuff? What about Fortnite? Is Fortnite, because of its the way that it is and its cartooniness, is that sucking younger people in who are willing to spend more money because they don't comprehend?
But the answer is, kids emulate what they see around them.
Yeah.
The thing that's enticing them to use these apps is they see other people that they think are cool using these apps.
Like Logan Paul.
I mean, that seems pretty obvious. And how are you going to defeat that?
Education and parenting?
We don't have that. And we're not going to get it.
Oh, this story is just...
Well, this is just...
It's terrible.
It's more of the same. How many times have we heard this at this point?
About 100. Just on this news program alone.
I'd say 5, maybe. But that's still a lot.
The Washington Post says that lawmakers in 2020, they're ready to crack down on robocalls. You're welcome. I think that what do you think the author is going for with the you're welcome in the headline? Did they not get the memo, or are they just fed up?
Well, it's the Washington Post, so it's kind of a mouthpiece for... You know,
do you think that implies the author thinks that this legislation, the lawmakers, will be effective in preventing the robocalls? Because I got some news for them.
Yeah, I don't know. They are looking to make it a lot easier to go to investigate robocalls and making the fines and the punishments much worse. But again, we actually passed something, right? Didn't the FCC actually pass something? And it doesn't seem to have helped that much.
I think we'll probably look back on this story in 2030. And it's like, tell me, Grandpa Wendell, how did it come to be that the FTC or the FCC had strike teams and helicopters and like a tank force? And it's like, well, they wrote some laws that basically everybody ignored, and they needed their own enforcement wing. So we got Judge Dredd to go stop the robocallers.
It's pretty presumptuous of you to think we'll both be alive in 2030. The FBI has had a lot to say this past week, and some of it, it seems pretty obvious, but I guess the normies don't know this, and the FBI saying it's probably a good thing. I don't think that if you're on the level that you don't already know this, what is your ability to carry this out?
Not high. The FBI recommends that you keep your IoT devices on a separate network. The FBI also recommends changing factory set default passwords and not allowing IoT devices accompanying mobile app to gain access to too many smartphone permissions. Basically, straight up, the FBI is saying, if you do your banking and like you pay your taxes at home, maybe consider getting a separate computer for that. And for the love of God, don't put your TV on the same Wi-Fi as all of your other devices like your laptops and desktop computers. That's just a window for China into your house. This is not a repeat from 1980.
They also talk about setting up VLANs, and it's kind of like, again, what, is grandma going to set up a VLAN? No.
This is going to probably spawn some level one videos. It's like, you know, getting the FBI recommended home network set up. Here you go.
But also, I mean, are you going to use the same internet connection for both of those networks? And which one are you, is your phone going to be on?
Oh, man. See.
Because your phone needs to communicate with these devices, although a lot of that does go through the internet, I guess.
I'm thinking about, well, like your ISPs, like that, you know, it's like you can get your cable service, but then you can get your phone line through the cable company. And it's like your network can be super secure, but their network is terrible.
It gets your IoT line, your bonus line, for only $15.99 a month.
And it's just bridged together in the same modem. Thanks, ISP.
Same IP address. The FBI has also had something to say about Russia and their apps. And we've heard this before, so I don't know why they're bringing this up. If maybe because of the whole TikTok thing sort of reignited this argument.
FaceApp and other Russian apps pose potential counterintelligence threats, according to the FBI. It's like, meet your future self. We're going to age your face. This is a story we covered like probably a couple of months ago now.
It's been a while, yeah.
This is a really popular app that got rights to use your photo when you uploaded it. So if you were, you know, I don't know, a precocious teenager and playing with this app, and then you decided to go work for an intelligence service, well, your picture's in there. Yeah. A good picture.
Oops. And they could use these for advertising or whatever they want. You know, the terms were pretty nasty. But the FBI is saying, you know, you're trafficking on these outside networks to go into Russia, and you just shouldn't do that. So if you love your country, uninstall FaceApp, TikTok, all of it.
And think before you do things online.
WeChat. The FBI has also dipped their toes into the gaming world, but they weren't having fun. Actually, they probably were having fun, but it wasn't about gaming. It was about catching a cocaine dealer.
FBI asked Sony for data on who allegedly used PlayStation Network to sell cocaine. So, yeah, this was a dealer who was arranging deals through, it sounded like Call of Duty to me. They didn't specify the game. But they wanted copies of the voice chat and messaging and that kind of thing. Sony said that they don't have copies of the voice chat. Amazing. That's unexpected that they don't just record everything.
Or they just weren't willing to admit it.
But there was messaging inside the app and that kind of stuff. So the FBI got at least some of that information, which is really interesting.
I think they were talking about he was selling kilograms, moving keys. As the young folk would say. And that's what, like 30 grand? So you would think that this would be low-level stuff, but, I mean, a $30,000 deal on...
Remember the terrorist story where people were... Bullets. Yeah, bullets and CSGO.
I think... So they referenced that the last time the FBI went to a gaming service, I think that's what they were talking about.
So we've gone from terrorists to, you know, this.
This guy apparently thought that this was the safest way to do it. Now, the terrorists, I think they understood that the voice might be recorded. But surely the pattern of textures of the bullets was never going to be recorded. So they were a lot smarter than this idiot. But, yeah, whatever. It worked for him for a little while, I guess. Another throwback to a previous story. I don't remember, it was like a year ago. There was a lot of alarm about the radiation coming from your phone. So there's always been that argument, right? Does it cause cancer? Is it bad for us? Are our cells mutating because we have these things in our pockets? But with ignoring that argument, somebody came forward and blew the whistle, and they're like, hey, Apple phones exceed the limits. They go too far because they're trying to improve performance. They just ramp up those modems, and they blast you with radiation. And Apple said, that's nonsense. Your lab is not accredited. I don't want to hear this crap from you. We only go by the FCC labs. That's all we go by. Well,
Business Wire's got a really interesting story. It says, an FCC accredited lab result has shown that Apple and Samsung RF radiation exceed the federal levels by 8 to 10 times. This is not in all scenarios, but this is in a lot of common scenarios. So when you've got your phone in your pocket, it's probably only 1 or 2 millimeters away from your skin. That's going to be like 6 to 8 times the legal exposure limit.
And if you got it up to your ear, like physically making contact, that's crazy. Now, there is one slight catch here, maybe, is the FCC has a very specific way of testing these. And they had to go beyond that to get these results. But it was real world testing, like you say, like this close to your face and touching you and in this position and yada, yada, yada. So could Apple still have some wiggle room here? Maybe?
I looked into this a little bit the last time that this story came out, and it looked to me like there's a situation with cell phones where if your cell phone is not super far from the tower, it's not going to broadcast at full power because it doesn't need to, and so it can save power. Like if you're, 6 inches from the cell tower inside the FCC testing lab, the phone can broadcast at a very low power and still be picked up. Real world testing to me is they're testing with their phone and the tower is a couple miles away and the phone's radio is basically outputting at maximum. In those scenarios, it's 8 to 10 times the limit, which is, would seem disingenuous to me if the FCC testing lab only tests when the tower's like right next door.
And I'm out, away from the city. At my house, I'm like 2 sticks at the best of times, so I'm sure that my Samsung phone is just roasting me from the inside. So something's going to get me. Might as well be that, right? We have talked about up to 5 cities that have been facial recognition at this point.
Yep.
Mostly the lefty West Coast cities that you would expect, and then one in New England somewhere. Where was it? Like, was it
Boston?
New Hampshire?
I think it was Boston.
Was it Boston? So, but here's the thing about that. All of those cities banned it from the government using it. So law enforcement and the municipal services and all that, they're not allowed to use facial recognition. But if you're a private company, and I don't know if you, would it be okay if they hired you, do you think? Mm-hmm. Anyway, private citizens, private companies, it's the Wild West. Portland has just gone all the way.
Portland plans to propose the strictest facial recognition ban in the country. Not just law enforcement, also private businesses. Are you going to run a camera system in your shop and make sure that it's not tracking faces? Because that's not allowed either.
So they bring up, I think Starbucks does it. And
Walmart, even.
There's a couple of other examples.
I don't think they have Walmart in Portland, though.
The big companies. Really? There's got to be. Well, maybe not in Portland, but in that state, there's probably.
Yeah, somewhere Walmart, around so. There.
So, yeah. Can't be doing that. It's going to be tough to catch. Like, I could see a business like Starbucks would get caught doing it. But like a little mom and pop shop?
You never know what kind of surveillance system they bought online. It's like, we're on Amazon and it's like the AI box has told me that, little Tommy was stealing candy bars.
Yeah. And if it's a pure family-run business, there's nobody to blow the whistle.
Yeah.
So, this is another story we have talked about before. But it's such an interesting concept, it bears repeating. Because we have these Hellfire missiles. And Hellfire missiles are really cool because the way they work is that's the thermobaric, which means that it heats up so much that it sucks all the oxygen out of the surrounding area. And that'll just collapse your lungs. Or if you're inside a building, it'll just suck you out a small opening. And that's very effective for killing people. But here's the thing. We only want to kill 1 or 2 of those people. And then we kill the whole building. So what do? You get creative.
The U.S. is suspected of killing a terrorist in Syria with the Ninja Bomb. So that's a Hellfire missile that has literally been outfitted with blades. There is a video. I didn't go looking for the video.
It's too bad that we got ad blocked here because the picture of it's pretty cool.
Yeah. The blades fly out from the missile, and there was a picture of a car, so it took out the driver and the passenger. So the missile struck the car with such precision that it killed the driver and the passenger. But it was in a crowded area, and there were no other casualties.
And it opens up like a plus sign, like a cross, so that, even if you miss, you got that big wingspan to
That didn't miss.
I got him. Well done. There was a room full of people just high-fiving like crazy after that. So Huawei is struggling. And they actually, we talked about either last week or the week before that, where they came out with a press release and they're like, they gave their financials and they're like, yeah, we're doing okay, but don't take this as a sign of confidence because we are getting crushed here. We need to be able to do business with America and we need to buy parts. They're targeting us and it's not fair. Well, they've had enough.
Huawei launches new legal challenge against the U.S. ban. This is on the BBC, which is really interesting because the U.K., remember, basically said, hey, put up or shut up with regard to the security concerns. So the current state of things in the U.K. is Huawei maybe not okay for government installations, but for private citizen 5G commercial rollouts, it's probably fine.
The latest thing that really hurt Huawei was that Universal Service Fund block. So ISPs get all this free money to upgrade their stuff. Of course you're going to use the free money. You're going to go out of pocket when you get free money? Well, now they can't spend that on Huawei. And Huawei knows that that's going to be terrible for their bottom line.
Yeah. It wasn't that Huawei was directly getting the money. It was that all the people doing the upgrading were buying Huawei equipment because it was the cheapest. Now they're not.
Yeah. Now they have to choose something else, which is terrible. We often talk about how politicians are criminals, and I stand by it, but they're a different breed of criminal. It's like that high-level stuff, you know? It's like that whole murder one person, you're a murderer, murder a million people, and you're, you know, a leader. And we don't think of them like pickpocketing and doing stuff like that. But in the Netherlands, one politician is breaking out of the mold.
Dutch politician faces 3 years in prison for hacking iCloud accounts and leaking nudes. This is currently a city council member who doubled as a hacker set to be sentenced on Christmas Eve. He's probably going to get 3 years. Don't know. That's what he's facing. He says that he did the hacking because somebody hacked his phone. And they were like, if you don't hack these other people, you remember the celebrity, like iCloud, it was insecure. If you did certain things, you could do
the
things.
The fappening.
Yeah. So he was able to use that exploit to do the fappening to local Dutch people and some Dutch celebrities, apparently. Shouldn't have done that. But, you know, he said he was blackmailed into doing it. But that didn't seem to be a credible defense.
The reason it wasn't a credible defense is actually a pretty good argument. Because two of the people were famous Dutch women. But a lot of the other ones were just women that in his social circle that no one would know or care about. So,
you gotta believe me, I'm a setup.
Gotta hope that he won't get reelected after those 3 years.
Probably not.
I think it was like a councilman. He wasn't a high-ranking politician, but still.
Well, he wasn't even a politician at the time the fappening occurred, apparently. And he didn't...
Still, so. Shouldn't the voters be able to sort of tell... I mean, look who we got in office. Uyghur. Did we determine this as Uyghur?
I think so.
We're gonna go with Uyghur. Because I think I read a comment that, like, you know, phonetically spelled it. And it sounded like Uyghur. Anyway, it's the Muslims living in China. They have, you know, their little communities. And China doesn't really care for them. And last week, some papers were leaked that were a little damning when it came to their re-education and concentration camps they were putting these people in. Well, you can't ignore that, right? I mean, as much as our politicians would love to and try to smooth over this trade war stuff, you just can't ignore it. So they didn't, and China's upset.
The U.S. Uyghur bill's threat to surveillance economy puts China on the offensive. So basically, this is the one where U.S. companies are not supposed to participate in surveillance technology to China, right? This is like another escalation of the trade war. Is that the one or is that the other one?
Yeah, I think that's what this is. But it's in response to that, but they're saying that, you know, we can't be a part of this in any way.
Yeah.
If you think that you're a part of this, you need to stop.
That's nice. You know, the last time that happened, you know, nobody told IBM maybe you shouldn't participate in that.
Well, to be fair, the world really didn't know. What year did they put Hitler on the... He was like person of the year for Time or something.
I think that was like 36.
I mean, they kind of blindsided a lot of the globe. We didn't have the news cycle that we do now back in those days. So maybe forgive some people for that. China is still dealing with Hong Kong. Did you see the stuff from Saturday? the big protest, because they won all those election seats.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the election thing, yeah, yeah.
But then they were like, okay, maybe you'll stop protesting. No. It was still going on in a big way on Saturday, which is kind of heartening, because they're like, no, here's a list of demands. You didn't meet any of them. Do it now.
Oh, yeah.
And so China, in typical China fashion, do they go to the negotiation table? No.
China resurrects the great cannon for DDoS attacks on Hong Kong Forum. So yeah, people online talking about the election results in Hong Kong, that's abandoning. Gonna get banned. So, this one story was not as interesting as the TikTok story, which I think is the next one, isn't it?
Probably. So the great cannon is a thing that they do where they intercept your traffic and inject JavaScript, which then attacks the target from you. So it's kind of like, would you call that distributed denial of service? Because it's distributed, but then it's centralized as well.
We want to know anybody that looked at this webpage, because they might have agreed with it, and they're going on a list.
Well, not just that. And not only does it just mark you, but it uses you to DDoS the website, or DOS the website. I don't... Engagement challenge. Do you consider that distributed? Because it kind of is, but then again, it's a single source that's causing all of it. Anyway, they hadn't been using the Great Cannon because it got a lot of flack the last time they used it, but apparently this Hong Kong thing is...
Was it wrong to intercept unencrypted internet traffic and change it on the fly to weaponize it? Should we not have done that?
I don't know if we got the TikTok story might be in business.
Oh, there was a... Yeah, we'll cover it in business. But it comes up again in business because China is like their social media ministry. I don't know what to call it really. Is in like full force. Is like anywhere anybody is talking about Hong Kong, do away with it.
Those guys are putting in a lot of hours. But we do have another China story if you still need your China fix. And this one is kind of, I think if you look at what's happening here and... Every time something bad happens, we just escalate the level of oppression, right? Where does that eventually lead? Eventually, at least, to this.
All new cell phone users in China must now have their faces scanned. Yeah, forget airport scanning for travel. You want to be able to communicate? We need to know who you are.
So, now, of course, this is being sold as, like, anti-fraud and tracking down the robocallers, you know, that kind of thing. But it's the Chinese government.
Again, if you're an infant when your skull is relatively soft, just injecting a microchip directly into your brain, that's really the easiest way to make sure that nobody commits identity fraud against you.
But what if the doctors get infiltrated?
We put them to the death penalty.
No, you put them in the camp.
You harvest their kidneys.
You don't waste those delicious organs. So we've been talking a lot about space debris. Did you watch the big SpaceX launch?
Yeah, yeah.
Where they got, but they went to the space station with the Dragon. So that was cool. But the thing is, SpaceX is putting a lot of satellites in the sky. And we've actually talked about the astronomers are getting pissed because they pull up the telescope. What are they looking at? A wall of satellites.
Yeah. There's that great picture from one astronomer. It was just a wall of lines. And that's just where the satellites were reflecting light across the sky, and there's only a few bands.
Yeah, and the plan is to just keep blanketing the sky in these things. But here's the crazy thing about it. Of all the satellites we have up there, it's something like a third of them are active, right? So how do we clean it up? Well, the EU has a plan.
European plan to tackle space debris? Hug it out. Defunct satellite capture options include net, harpoon, or embrace with mechanical arms. So literally, it's going to be Santa Claus, except instead of hauling around his sack full of toys, it's his sack full of satellite junk. And then they're just going to deorbit it and bring it all down.
I think it's more like the tentacle monster.
This is how we get V'ger. Do you want V'ger? This is how we get V'ger.
So they're talking about somehow you got to clean these up, but you got to make it as cheap as humanly possible. And they're thinking that some sort of tentacle attack is going to be the cheapest option.
Think like, you know, when Wally, when the ship left orbit, it's just all those satellites. It's like that.
Yeah. So that's interesting. You got to wonder who pays for this, right? Is it just like, okay, the taxpayer, but this isn't really is it the taxpayer of the company, the country that sent it up?
No.
Because that's going to be us.
No, I think that the commercial, like Starlink's commercial interest in space means that they're probably going to have to pay to clean up the previous company's thing. Like, when whatever comes after Starlink comes along and it has a commercial interest in using the space occupied by currently defunct satellites, it will be its responsibility to clean up after Starlink.
That could work. You could say, like, okay, send one, bring two, right? Yeah. But India is not going to have that rule, and you're just going to go to India for all your space launches. Because we've seen their space program is really starting to dial up.
What we're going to need are some space Hellfire missiles to...
well, that's just going to make smaller parts. This doesn't help anybody. So the Russians, when we're not talking about China, we're talking about the Russians. It seems like the Russians are always just like one step behind China when it comes to authoritarianism. And you know,
they're really good with their computers,
attacking and stuff. Of course, they got their own internet now, so they're sort of like, you know,
turtling. Well, they're working on that.
But the thing about it is, you got to worry about Russia spying, right? And how are they doing it? Well, they have maybe an exciting new tool in their toolbox.
Suspected internet cable spy ship operating in Americas for over a month. So this is a ship that is ostensibly a research vessel. But it is the ship that we think, or some people think, I should say, can intercept undersea cables and may have been responsible for some internet outages, including the Syrian internet outage. So maybe, does it dredge up undersea cables and splice into them, or does it just cut them? Does it find them, find the exact location?
I think it'd probably be like a vampire tap type of technology.
It's hard to do that.
Oh, listen. That's why they're researching. They are, so why do we suspect this? Well, some intelligence probably that we're not privy to, but also this ship has been rolling around and turning on its transponder right before it goes into port. And then as soon as it's out of the range of the port, turning it right back off.
That's not suspicious at all.
So, who knows?
The transponder tells you exactly where the ship is. So we're going to have to track it with satellites.
Here's the question. Do you think that we're confident that they can hack undersea cables because we can hack undersea cables?
Yes. We've been doing that since the 80s. What are you talking about?
Facebook and Google. Facebook and Google are running afoul of the EU at this ever-increasing pace. The cycle just gets shorter and shorter. The EU just goes in their pockets faster and faster every time. I don't know where does it stop?
Facebook and Google are in a new EU probe over user data. So, yeah, European officials are saying, wait a minute. We've had this conversation before, but how are you using user data?
Incorrectly, I would suspect, is the answer. We'll find out.
Look, if we find even the slightest thing that you guys are doing wrong, that represents billions of dollars to our constituent member states. Who wouldn't want to participate in that?
And they're probably going to get some of it. Moving on to robots. It's a weird one today. Government and robot. We don't usually have this mixture, but you know the counts were such that this made the most sense. And Amazon is, the thing about robots is they're really good at learning and they're really good at doing specific tasks. But the problem is humans aren't good at giving them the kind of instructions that robots expect, which like they expect really logical instructions and we're not always logical in our commands. So Amazon has a novel way. And actually, I think probably this would make the robot more in like lovable, don't you think?
No.
You don't think so?
Amazon proposes a home robot that asks you questions when it's confused. It's like, I'm lost, please help me, is the caption in the thing. So if you have a, you know, home assistant robot and it's trying to figure out where it needs to go, it's like, where do I go for that? You can teach it and it would remember, basically, if it's going to wander around your apartment or whatever.
So this picture is part of the problem they describe. So your robot, you say, robot, go through the door and pick up the thing. And the robot sees this, and it's like, oh, okay, you did not give me enough information. I need to know which door it is. So then the robot can be like, hey, which door is it?
It's in the bedroom, but these are both bedrooms.
That'd be fun to keep giving it an acceptable answer, but see how long you can do that without actually solving its problem. Yeah, that's funny. As soon as you said no to that question, it's like, would it make it more endearing? I thought to myself, it's like, well, it's like a toddler. And I was like, oh, yeah, right. You're right. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? Who would want to live with that? Amazon, you know, they have a big problem. And that problem, I don't even know if they care, is fake reviews, right? Good Lord, the fake reviews on Amazon are an issue. And they have AWS where everybody is hosting their code. Oh, there's all kinds of code on AWS. And people are, you know, sometimes they'll leave it open to the world and that causes bad press. So they're saying, let's get some robots involved here.
Amazon introduces Fraud Detector and Code Guru. So Amazon had their big shindig last week, and there was a lot of news that came out of that. There's a lot of people working on Amazon AWS services and Amazon AWS this and that. So what Fraud Detector aims to be is a service that goes both ways. So you can upload your data that you've dealt with in the past and instances where there have been fraud. And so Fraud Detector will take your data and learn from it, but you can also use Fraud Detector on stuff that you're doing online that has learned from other people's data. So like, let's say that you offer a service that's like a try before you buy kind of a thing. You could look at, you know, what are, let's say, high value customers and what are low value customers, where the low value customers are more likely to commit fraud or just, you know, try it and then they just disappear and they never actually buy anything. And so these services can look at a whole bunch of factors like email address and IP address and like what browser they're using and like just how the mouse pointer moves and figure out if they need to do extra screening steps or require a credit card deposit or whatever it might be, so they can offer different services automatically depending on if you pass the fraud detection thing. And Code Guru is like an autocomplete thing. So like you start to use Amazon services and it's like, let me help you with your code. And it's like, oh, this isn't secure. You probably shouldn't do this.
It also can determine what's going to take the maximum execution time in your code. It's like, this line is costing you 30% of your execution time. Do something about this. So that's useful, I guess.
Neat.
They can just plug that into most IDEs. It's not, you don't have to use the Amazon thing for that. Of course, how much of your code do you think it sends back to be analyzed?
It said that it was running your code every 5 minutes continuously. It's like, yeah.
Online shopping. Did we break the record for Cyber Monday? I didn't see that.
Oh, I didn't look. I forgot to look.
I think we did. I think it was another record. But anyway, if not, it was big. Big Cyber Monday. A lot of people shopping online and fewer people in the stores this year. More people going online.
Because it's a terrible experience in the stores.
On a good day, it's a terrible experience in the stores. So how do you compete with that? You have to go to our robot friends.
Grinchbots are here to ruin your holiday shopping. Didn't catch a hot item online? That may be because you're competing with bots programmed to sweep up the best deals. I can confirm I did buy some AMD Threadrippers with a bot.
The most interesting thing that this thing talks about is, I guess it's kind of like the click farms, where when their AI finds a deal and it starts shopping and it hits a CAPTCHA, it just shunts that CAPTCHA back to the call center. And someone quickly solves it and then it continues with its robotic ways. That's terrible.
That's also terrifying. It's like, can you imagine like the future Skynet machines and the machines are doing everything, but there's a little, you know, there's a little cattle farm of humans and it's like, here, you got to solve this.
Every CAPTCHA you solve, they give you one drip of endorphin, artificial endorphin, or maybe like an opiate or something. But here's the crazy thing about it. Those bots are saving so much money because what they do is they'll resell these on eBay or something like that for the regular price. And they're making enough money off that to employ call centers to solve CAPTCHAs. They're creating jobs.
There was a report that came out this week that said that, oh, the economy's got a lot of jobs. They're all awful. That's why.
Yeah, well, speaking of making the jobs more awful, the weird thing about AI, I think when we started to have this conversation, you know, what was it, like 2014, 2015? Everybody thought it was going to be the truck drivers and the factory workers and the obvious stuff, you know. But the crazy thing is AI has stepped in and it's wiping out the high-level jobs. And it's doing it in unexpected places.
Robots in finance could wipe out some of its highest-paying jobs. And this is in Bloomberg. So this is mainstream. It's like the main, like we've been saying this for a while, but finance, you know, like high-frequency stock trading or just knowing which things to invest in. Robots in finance are going to wipe out some of its highest paying jobs. These are like $150,000 a year plus jobs. They're high stress. Nobody really wants to do them, but the AI is doing a better job.
And some of it's sort of like, okay, the guys at the very top have decided a trading strategy. But when you're dealing with this type of money, you know, these massive, massive piles of money, you can't just go in and be like, buy 2 billion shares, you know. Because you'll move the market. And you don't want to do that. You're going to move it against the direction you want because you want to buy low. and you start buying it, it starts going up. So there are people whose job is just to try and execute that block of trades at the best possible price. Well, guess who's really good at that?
Robots.
Oh, you know, I didn't see this one. I missed this one somehow. It sounds interesting, though.
No, we covered it once before. Emotion sensing robot launches to assist space station astronauts. So,
oh, yeah, I remember now.
We covered this. They were building it, and it's like, we're going to do this. And I was like, my impression of the astronauts was like, what? There's a robot helper. This is like super condescending because it's supposed to help solve conflict. And in the article, they talk about how, like, you know, maybe we get to a situation where, you know, the astronauts are not talking to one another or they're having trouble communicating, and like the robot can play mediator. And it's like, are we really there? And I think last time we joked about Dr. Theopolis and Buck Rogers, but this article actually mentions that they saw the robot playing the role of something like Dr. Theopolis, but it's from an even more old and obscure sci-fi that apparently one of the people working on this saw in like the 50s or 60s. And it was like, you know, there was like a disembodied brain that would like help solve problems for like the space crew or whatever.
Well, we did that story last week where all the toilets were out. I imagine that was a tense time.
It's like, look, you're just going to have to poop. It would be really upsetting, too, because like the Russian toilet was not broken down. It just needed to be emptied. So it's like, how do you get there? How do you get to that spot?
You see, you know, one of your shipmates, and they're eating like something high in fiber, and you're like, oh.
What are you doing? What do
you think you're doing?
It's nothing but nutrient paste.
And my favorite robot from this week. Now, before we show the title, let's just look at him. Look how cute he is. Oh, that's an adorable robot, isn't it? Well,
it's about 5 seconds before turning terrifying.
Yeah.
This squid-like drone is an underwater bomb designed to attack warships, either alone or in a swarm. Yeah. Nice.
Wow, that's terrifying.
It's going to use its tentacles to grab onto things and then, like, explode. Yeah.
Okay. So that's his propulsion method, but he can grab things with those tentacles. And here's the coolest part. He can attach himself to a rock, and there's a turbine inside of him, and ocean currents can charge him while he just waits for a ship, a target of opportunity to come by.
So this is going to be great for somebody to discover. Like, you know how in the UK, people are like, oh, I was digging out the basement at our house, and we discovered a World War II bomb.
Or the landmine thing.
Yeah. Unfortunately, no one died. It's going to be like that.
All those pictures of one-legged kids and those, you know, like war-torn countries because there's landmines everywhere. What happens when somebody goes diving? And they're like, oh, I've never seen this kind of squid before. And then, you know, boom.
2050, it's like the Alaskan fisherman. It's like, you know what happened to my hand? I lost my hand when I...
And this guy's still down there moving around because he can recharge himself, you know, until that battery is completely destroyed. Although, I guess, you know, is it like the same kind of battery that's in an iPhone? Yeah. It's the last 4 years.
The motion reminded me of the things that look kind of similar from the original Super Mario Brothers. Like, you play the water level, and it's like, oh, it was so frustrating. And the way that it moves, it's not exciting. All right, what do we got for tomorrow?
Well, business for sure. I think it's business and social tomorrow.
Business and social. All right. See you tomorrow. Thanks.